Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cornerstone Christian Church of God podcast, where we are devoted to bringing restoration and transformation to all. To stay connected and find out more about what God is doing in His church, please visit our website, cccghq.org. Thank you so much, and we hope you are blessed by this message.
Let's go through our themes together, starting with the theme for the year. One, two, go. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Don't tell me you're forgetting that. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now the theme for this month, one to go. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Cornerstone, let there be light. Clap your hands together, please. And you may be seated. Amen. Can you just give Jesus a smile? Let him know that the blessing he sent has reached you. Can I hear your smile? Hallelujah. You know, you can laugh in English, you can laugh in vernacular. You can laugh in broken English. There's a way you laugh that even your neighbors will say, I don't know you. Amen. I pray that the Lord will give us embarrassing blessings that will make us laugh in ways that will forget ourselves. You laugh with reckless abandon. Relationship red flags. Some people have texted some people. Please leave me alone. The Lord has exposed you. Don't text me again. Don't call me again. You see me on the right, go to the left. Amen. The Lord says, I'll neither leave you nor forsake you, but I'm telling you, I've left you and I've forsaken you. I pray some people have made such a decision today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Relationship red flags at work. And guess what? On Thursday, we'll look at red flags in the church. Because we can't be, if we remove the speck in our brother's eyes, we have to look at the log in our own eyes. So we'll be pointing the mirror at the church, not Cornerstone Christian Church of God, at the church. So that all those people who have been trapped in courts and they don't know, the Lord will set them free. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you hear something else on Thursday, remind me, Apostle, is relationship red flags at church. So I don't escape from that. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and they are punished. And we can say, and then they pass away. Glory to God. Number one, red flag. Are you being paid to die? Or you have been paid to live? Some say, are you being paid to die or you're being paid to live? Is it a slow death? Because some people going to work every day is death. You know, they say death by 1,000 cuts. This is death by working. Now, don't quit your job yet. Don't text your boss and say, I quit. Just wait. You have rent to pay. You have mortgages to pay. You have a family to take care of. So just wait. Amen. Are you being asked to give up without the promise or possibility of moving up? You know, many people are requesting from us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me. Give up your fishing and follow me. If that was where he stopped, he would have been an abusive leader. Some are saying, give up, but they are not telling you what you get. Jesus said, I would make you fishers of men. You're not giving up for nothing. I will make you fishers of men. It got to a point, Peter, I love people. It's good to lead people like Peter. But it's even better when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He looked around and he said, Jesus, we've left all and followed you. What's in it for us? It was a question many people had. They wanted to ask, but they couldn't ask. But Peter asked that question. And Jesus said, in Mark chapter 11, I believe verse 30, 31, thereabout, he said, there's no one who has left father, mother, brother, sister, everything for my sake that will not get all these things. If anybody's asking you to leave all, then they must be ready to give you all. If they don't give all, they don't have the right to ask you to leave all. They say, leave your family, leave all these things, asking for sacrifice. Yet they are not giving you sacrificially. It's a red flag. Because there are some workplaces, they have weaponized promotion. You know what I mean? They've weaponized it. Anytime your motivation is going on, they remind you, there's a promotion. and then you gear up again. And then when it's time for promotion, they say, you know, there was a day you didn't dress properly. Weaponizing promotion. Being dangled as a reward. Are you being paid to die, or you are seeing hope and fulfillment in what you have chosen to spend your life in? Do you know that many people spend most of their life at work than even with their family? 9 to 5. And it's good. We ought to work. He who does not work should not eat, the Bible says. But there must be reward. Are you being paid to die, or you're being paid to live? Number two, is the organization providing life or bringing death to others? Is it providing life? Look at the mission of your organization. Is it giving life to people, or is giving death? I mean, you work in a cannabis store. You work in an organization that makes cannabis. There are many uses for the cannabis. You need to be able to look to see, okay, because you can't say, oh, no, I'm just an accountant. I'm just counting the money. I'm not a drug dealer. You're a part of that organization. Maybe the use of the cannabis is more for health purposes, helping people. That's good. But if on the side, they're also running a drugs business, getting people high, destroying people's lives, you should not be a part of that. What is the mission of the organization? Is it just something that is written in the boardroom, or is something that is being pursued? Remember, don't quit your job yet. You're just looking at the red flags. Don't come to me later and say, Apostle, I can't pay my rent. I quit because you preached that message. Let's apply wisdom. You can plan your exit 6 months later. Glory to God. So when you go for an interview, it's not just them asking you questions. You need to also ask questions. Excuse me, do you have a question? Yes, I do. I read on the website that you have a mission, and in fact, this is your mission, to bring restoration and transformation to all. Now, please, where's the evidence? I ask it in a more refined way, okay? Don't ask as if you want to fight. I'm preaching, that's why I'm talking like this, okay? Please, so how can I look into to see the evidence of that restoration and transformation? Oh, we provide hope to people. Where can I see a list of people who have hope now as a result of our efforts? There's nothing wrong with that. Red flags at work. Number three, How do they treat those who have left? Have they become enemies or they are still partners? There are some organizations where if you leave, they'll put a target on you. You've become an enemy of the state. It's like you committed treason. Now, some of these might be repeated on Thursday with regards to a church. The Lord said to me many years ago, he said, the church is not a cult. There's freedom of entry and there's freedom of exit. And some people who come here from another ministry and the pastors who think we owe them an explanation. Remember, it's not your property. People have left here too and gone to other places. I can't be watching people's live stream and I say, turn the camera. Who is that? That's Joe. And they called the pastor, Joe is missing. Please return Joe back. No, Joe is not. Joe is a human being. Made up his mind to relocate. Amen. We'll get to that on Thursday. Glory to God. Have they become enemies or are they still partners? You're watching those red flags so you know what to expect when you leave. There are some places where it is all good so long as you are with them. The moment you separate yourself, then you have become a problem and they'll use you as an example to others. Genesis chapter 14, verse 13 to 16. Lot left Abraham. Abraham gave him permission to leave. And the moment Abraham heard that he was captured, he went to help to rescue him. You know, there are some people, we're not talking about the church yet, but it seems like we are. There are some, when you leave and you go down, that's evidence, you see. You should not have left. If Lot remained with us, he would not have been captured. I'm just telling you all you future Lots. So you are aware. Just in case if you want to get lost. Behave like Lot. No, Abraham went to rescue him. Now, granted, should we just change it to red flags at church? Because it's giving church. You see, yes, there are times where people leave their place, their appointed place. And that's what happened to Lot. But Abraham did not turn to everybody else, the 318 trained men, and say, look at Lot. Can you see Lot? Are you planning to leave? Do you want to resign? Do you want to be like him? And then bully them back into submission. But Abraham went to rescue them. He was in essence saying, whether you are with me or not, I care about you. That is a good environment to be in. I remember when I was working in consulting then, it looked as if they cared for people who left. But it's because they were leaving to other organizations that they will need contracts from. If you know, say I know. And they'll build deep relationships. You're like, wow, this is good. This is, you know, nice system. No. It's because they are being strategic. Now you're going to the government, a high position. And you say you're an alumni of this organization. So in essence, you owe us contracts now. You're on the other side. You know how good we are, right? How do they treat those who left? Because they'll treat you the same. Most likely. Number four. Is the throne in that workplace honored? Is the leader honored? I was surprised when he gave me this one, but I understood. Don't feel safe in an environment where the head is not honored. A culture of rebellion and disobedience will not be a safe place for you to thrive. The people who you met there are in essence telling you indirectly that the leader is not good, so it's not a safe place for you to grow. But when you step into a place and you see that there is healthy honor for the leader, you understand that you are safe. They are telling you that they are happy, they are well fed, they are well taken care of, and you will be also. If you look at the picture of Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, from verse 2, you look at God's throne. And if you were just making it to heaven, you say, no, this is a safe place to be. There was a throne, yes. Next verse, please. He who sat there was looking wonderful, yes. Verse 4. And there were 24 thrones. Amazing. And on the thrones, they saw seven lamps of fire, yes. Verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, wonderful. Verse 7. Living creatures, verse 8. They did not rest day and night. They were worshiping. So you ask yourself in this environment, what is so good about this leader that people are worshiping? That's what happened in heaven. It will tell you, no. Whatever these people are enjoying, I can also enjoy. But you get to a place and all you hear is gossip and this one attacking this one and that one. You have to look and say, okay, what is happening here? This place does not look safe. Let's go to verse 9, please. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever. So living creatures giving thanks, verse 10. Then you see 24 elders falling down to worship. So when I say honoring the leader in that workplace, it's not just one or two or three people. You see that it's in the majority. You will never find an environment where everybody is honorable. It's impossible. Now, but Apostle, no, relax. What if the leader is good, but they are just leading bad people? If that's a good leader, they should remove those bad people. If you're a good leader, you have to create a good environment for people to thrive. You can't say you're good and all your 24 elders are 24 killers. It is an indication of who that leader is by default. Because you produce after your kind. If you allow such people to thrive, even though you are good, then that is a wicked statement on its own. Is the throne honored? Is the leader respected? Glory to God. There are many reasons why the military is one of the best places to serve within a country. The way they take care of them in a responsible nation. It's very admirable. There are some countries, I'm sure you'd know some of them, where you have to go and source for your own boots and your own guns and bullets. They send you to deal with terrorists, but no bullets. So here you go, open your hand. 1, 2, 3, 10 bullets. Go and kill 10 terrorists. Yet they are growing fatter in length and in breadth. May the Lord deliver them. Is the throne honor? Number five. How do they treat the weak? How do they treat those who are weak in their midst? The weak. Somebody said, one of the ways you know a good environment is how they treat those who are weak. The elderly and the children. How do they treat the elderly? Because now they are no more producing for the society. They are no more earning income where we can get taxes from. Are they forgotten? And David showed us a very good picture. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 21. You know, in some organizations, when you are working, you are valued. God help you. Just don't fall sick. When there's a sick leave, you see how there'll be nickel and diming. The person will say the back is what they say, no, still come and still don't use your back fully like this, just do like this, walk like this. And you're wondering, but there's pain. No. You know, they want to suck every life they can out of the person. Those are red flags. There are places where a person will be, if they drop dead, they'll say, oh, she died. And somebody else will replace them. Almost instantly. And yet, these are places where people give all the most of their strength. They leave their homes in the morning full of strength. They come back home at night empty. Leave. So they are depositing the best of their energy, physically, mentally, emotionally, almost every day. But when they are needed the most, they are treated like trash. Don't let it happen to you. Observe for yourself. Now, David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. Who had been so what? Weary. They were tired. They fought other battles. But this battle, he said, I'm tired. I need to rest. Whom they also had made to stay by the brook. They stayed by where there was water while their colleagues were going to fight. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And David came near the people and greeted them. Please watch closely. Then all the wicked and worthless men, look at how the Bible described them. Of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. This is wickedness. But look at what the great leader said. David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his path is who goes down to the battle, so shall his path be who stays with the supplies. They shall share alike. What a statement. A person who is selfish will say, no, this is not fair. This is not fair. So it means some people can just be lazy and say they don't want to go. Remember, this is an army. They will not even make it to the army if they had that behavior. And there are some people here, perhaps, that is your mindset. The Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. Every tendency to use people and suck them dry and leave them hanging, I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Said, no, those who fight will get the same as those who don't fight. Yeah, this was an army. Not in the 21st century. Because some people feel like we are the ones that are the most progressive. Even till today, some organizations are not like this. Is union good or bad? You decide. But there are some organizations, the moment you say you want to unionize because you're being taken advantage of, they will fight them to the very end. Because you'd rather they don't have power. What a statement. I just feel like we should just leave this and just pray with this for maybe about 2 hours. But as his path is who goes down to the battle, so shall his path be who stays with the supplies. As his path is who goes to win souls, so is his path who is staying at home interceding for those who went to win souls. As his part is who is preaching, so his part is who is praying at home and praying on their seats as they are seated for the one preaching. Perhaps you know evangelist D.L. Moody, great man of God, gone to be with the Lord many years ago, did wonderful things. He said he had an experience with God, a vision. And the Lord came into their midst, I believe, and was distributing gifts for all of them. And he said the gift he got was big. He, the chief pastor was big. And he said, but an elderly woman came. There was a lineup. She came. And the gift Jesus gave us, the biggest. And he said, Jesus. This is a mistake. What's going on? I'm the pastor. I'm the man of God. Not man, men. many one. And the Lord said to him, he said, there was a time in your ministry where you shifted in power. Your authority shifted drastically. This was the reason why. This woman made up her mind that she'll be fasting and praying for you regularly. Many times you don't know. It's not just those who are in front of the camera. Now, if you watch this stream and I don't look good on camera, it's the people holding the camera I should hold ransom. You see, because, and vice versa, I might not be looking the best, but they can position it in a way that they only show my good side. What are we trying to say? We are all, this thing is a joint work. There are times where you look at a celebrity, you see them in real life, and you're wondering, wow, I bless God for your photographer. I thank the Lord for your makeup artist. The one who designed your outfits, they are worthy to be praised in God. It's a joint effort. It's joint. When you look at the people who are weak, people who have retired or who are retiring. One of the things that made me know that I was not going to stay in that consulting environment, that particular organization, was there was a particular partner who said, you know, in those places, they give you the corner office when you are in your prime. He said when it was his heydays, oh yeah, that other office used to be his office. Now, where he was, there was no window. A retired partner. I said, if this is how they take care of those who were once producing and are no longer producing as much, this is not where I want to be long term. No. You have to watch those things because they will not treat you any differently. I wonder when people leave God and give their whole life to an organization. What a mistake. Please work hard, but make sure your spirit, soul, and body remains with God, not any company. Is the Lord speaking to somebody? Because anything can change. I've not seen any manager that will say they are going through restructuring. And they'll say, you know what? I fire myself just so you can have a job. Number six. Is love encouraged and pursued, or hatred is encouraged and pursued? There are certain places where the backstabbing, the backbiting is sanctioned at the top. From the boardroom, you know where it flows from. It is sanctioned at the top. In the meetings, in the manager's office, it is sanctioned. The gossiping, the hatred, the backbite, it starts from the corridors of power. Have you heard? It starts from the head. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's love. You know, I make fun of Mr. Trump a lot. Well, he's a human being. I love him in the Lord. You know, if you want to be a public figure, you have to be ready to be targeted. I can't use you as an example. I have to use him. You know, very interesting guy. I don't think he listens to what he himself says. He just talks. You know, when you're on his good side and they ask him, so what do you think about this guy? Oh, yeah, I know him. Very fine gentleman. Very, very, very good guy. We're very, very good friends. We are, in fact, he's a great guy. But when you're no longer friends, yeah, I don't know him. I've never met him my whole life before. And he'll show me a video of him saying, he said, no. I told you I've never met him. I don't know. It's terrible character. Terrible, terrible. You used to have a lawyer when they were bedfellows. He was a good guy. Now, the way he speaks about him, you're wondering, has he even met this guy before? You want to ask yourself that question. Is love being propagated in this environment, or it is hatred? You see, it is one thing for people to love the leader only, but that is not enough. Because some people can love a leader because they are doing their performance appraisal. But look around you. Are they also loving other people? Is it being facilitated? Is it being encouraged? Or is it discouraged? Remember, you are there in that organization, that business, not just to work, to earn a living. You're also living your life. You might think all these things are too much to ask for, but there are countless organizations that have these virtues and more. Countless organizations. I've been to places where the backbiting is massive. You get into the kitchen, they are talking about somebody, and the moment the person steps in, just keep quiet. It's a culture. There are some cultures you can change, but there are some that you ought to leave. And number 7, is unity encouraged and pursued, or is it a culture of divide and conquer? There are some leadership styles I have experienced. It's a style of divide them and conquer them. You know, when you gather a group of ambitious people together, one of the wickedest things you can do is to make promises to people individually. It's like a man who has 8 women is looking at it, and you tell all of them, I want to marry you. You tell all 8 of them, he wants to marry, but it's the other person that is not allowing him to marry them. What has he done? Oh yeah, they will fight each other to the end. All the love will be coming to him while they are competing with each other. That's a very toxic environment. You say, but it's good to encourage people. No, you don't encourage people with hidden agenda. If you want to motivate them, let the rules of engagement be clear for everybody to see. These are the 3 things to do to get promoted. It is open, not something hidden. Don't tell anybody you're the next manager. Not knowing that they've told everybody else the same thing. Until one day when they all begin to talk. Oh yeah, he told me I'm the next. He told you that? He told me too. Me too, me too. Maybe that's how he started. Matthew 20, verse. Some are getting it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Somebody said, you see, when people are having affairs with a leader, they don't have a problem. Many times the problem is when they hear that the same affair has been had with other people too. That's when suddenly they come out and speak out. It's not that they thought it was bad. When they were doing it many times, it wasn't bad. But now they realize, her too? Him too? And they say, me too.
May the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel help us. Amen. Oh, yes. Wisdom is profitable. Matthew 20:20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. Let's hear what she wants to ask for. And he said to her, what do you wish? You know, it's so funny. Jesus knew what she wanted to ask for, but still gave her. I can imagine him just, what do you wish? I see it, but just tell me. She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one to your right hand. Now, which one did she choose to be on the right? We don't know. Even that in itself is political in nature. Based on who gave her the best Christmas gift, you be on the right. And the other one, I don't really like him, but it's my son, on the left. In your kingdom. Verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Which means promotion is by merit, not by tribalism, not by racism, sexism, not by any. No, it's by merit. It's by merit. What have they done to merit that? Then they said to him, we are able. Remember, they were men. We are able. Let's go to verse 23. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup, whether you say you are able or not, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. I know if I tell you, you sit on the right and left, now you sacrifice for me till the end. But that must not be your motivation. But it is for those whom it is prepared for by my Father. Now look at verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased. The devil sent this woman as an arrow to scatter Jesus' disciples. Thank God the master was wise. Masterfully wise. Otherwise, Peter would have poisoned John. And John would have stabbed Andrew. And Andrew would have beheaded. And it would have been a free for all. And Jesus would wake up one day. All my 12 disciples come to me. And they're all dead. He acted in wisdom. Look at what he said. Look at what he said. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who exercise authority over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. 26, please. Yet it shall not be so among you. He was establishing unity. This is a safe place to work. But whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. Especially in places where God blesses them and gives them high performers. People who, by their very nature, are ready to put in their very best. It's important that it's an environment where unity is fostered and it is enforced and divisions are not permitted. One of the easiest ways to encourage ambitious people, I want to say it again, is to make side promises to them. And then allow them to destroy each other. Donald Trump is known to lead in that way. He said it himself. Now he said if he becomes president, he'll tell Russia that he can attack any NATO country that does not give enough. And you say, yeah, he said it. You say, why are you not giving? There are the types of people, I saw a video, I'm not talking about church. I saw a video where in a so-called ministry, you mess up, the pastor will slap and slap, that you invite members to also come and slap. And the church name has grace in it. That's graceful slapping. It's a free for all. I say, it's because we love you. That's why we are all correcting you together. Now, my problem is, who is supposed to stay there? But there are still people who will stay there. And they'll see love. They'll leave love alone. And they'll go for slaps. Look at the environment. Is it a divide and conquer environment? Many, many, many years ago, I went to see a minister, got his office, we're talking, and then a member was coming. And right there in my presence, I said, ah, this person is coming again. This person is a talker, talks too much. Ah. Oh my goodness. And the person came in. I said, ah, brother, how are you? I said, hey, red flag. I kid you not. After then, anytime I was going around there, I would say, ah, what is he saying now? As I am also coming. Look at this short man. He thinks he's tall. He's very short. I don't know. It's unity. It's unity. You see, listen to me. Nobody's perfect. We all have our flaws. But I'm saying your life should not be a sacrifice for a flawed environment. Your life is way more valuable than that. Then where can I be safe? You are safe in the presence of God. And anywhere God leads you to, He'll make provision for you. In an environment like the palace where Esther was, where there was a man called Haman, it looked as if everywhere was wicked and full of evil, including the king. But it was only one man, Haman. So God might lead you to a place that looks wicked. If God led you there, it means that place is safe. There's a head of the snake that must be cut off. Because God will never lead you into evil. If you led yourself, chances are you've missed the road. But if God led you there, no matter how murky it looks, no matter how dirty it looks, no matter how bad it looks, maybe it even fits all the things we said today. I can assure you that there are one or two people you just need to withdraw from that environment, and the place will become safe for you to habit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. May the Lord give us, as business owners, grace to create safe spaces. Anybody who leaves you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. The fact that somebody left you does not mean God is done with them. Please rise up to your feet.
Thank you for taking the time to listen and receive the fresh word of God. Before you leave, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not born again, I, Pastor Ibuku Adewusi, would love to pray with you. If you're ready to give your life to Christ right now, please say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary. I know I am a sinner, and today I come to you to forgive me of all my sins and to make me a brand new creation. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and making me born again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Congratulations, you are now born again. Please reach out to us on cccghq.org/save and fill out the form completely so that we can send you wonderful materials to help you grow on your new walk with Christ. Congratulations once again. We love you and God bless you.